Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can come by faith, God, and ask for our inheritance, Lord. You are a blesser, Lord. That's who you are. You bless us. All you know, Lord, is giving and blessing. And Lord, you've given your best in Christ Jesus. And so we thank you this morning that we can truly celebrate who Jesus is in our lives, the one who's overcome for us. And we thank you that we can receive your blessing, Lord. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit as well, Lord, that sometimes we just take for granted, Lord. Sometimes we don't even understand. But we thank you that we can truly receive what you have for us this morning, God. And I thank you that you empower us as well, God. As we ask for inheritance, thank you that you empower us, Lord, to also go and be a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that you would really, Lord, start to flow through us as a church, God, that we won't just stop with your blessing, God, and contain it, Lord, in this building or in our lives, God, or just confined to our meetings and our ministry, Lord. I pray that you would really give us the capacity as a church, Lord, to give out as well, Lord, even as, Lord, the word came about the offering, God, that financially we also want to be a blessing, God, and so I pray that you'd cause us to have your life flow through us, Lord, and not only into us, God, but we realize that we are only channels, God, and so I pray that you'd make us vessels of clay, God, that we can really move where you move, God, and that we can, God, be obedient to where you're going and where you're moving with us. And so we thank you for this morning. We thank you for another awesome opportunity, God, in your presence. God, where there's fullness of joy, God, where your house, where we meet in your presence and where your house is, God, there's only joy and there's healing and there's peace and there's, Lord, we can move out of here changed, God. And so we thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you that you, Lord, are so long-suffering with us, Lord. You're so patient with us, God. Many times we are unfaithful, Lord, but you remain faithful. We praise you for that this morning, Lord. We praise you that you are faithful in our lives, God. And we just worship you and we receive you, the gift of the Spirit this morning as our teacher, as our guide, the one who's going to lead us into all truth this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord, that is living and powerful, God. And we receive your word with joy again this morning. We thank you that we'll never grow complacent, God, and never take your word for granted. Thank you that your word is life, God. And all of us are testimonies of your word giving us life, God, and your word sustaining us as well. And so we thank you for this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess we got a bit shaken out of our comfort zones this morning. Our first morning service, and it's -4, -5, waking up this morning. So I trust you are warm by now, or maybe you're just not feeling your feet. That's why you think you're warm, but you can't feel your hands and your feet. But it's great to have you guys in the house of the Lord. Isn't it amazing? God is here, and He's always here to meet us, whether we're 1 or 2 or 10,000. God is the same. And so I really, yeah, I'm excited this morning about just something that the Lord shared with me when I was running this week. As most of you know, I'm a runner, enjoy running, but I think sometimes I have been a bit lazy, allowed other things to prevent me always from running, and I guess now in the cold it's even more of a challenge to get out either in the mornings or in the afternoons to go for a run. But I enjoyed the other day because the Lord just reminded me of just my days of when I was very serious, running twice a day and really being committed. But it's now, it's sort of a bit nicer now not to have that pressure. Sort of Cameron will know what I'm speaking about as a sportsman who's been committed, gone to the Olympics. Even I wasn't that fortunate. I tried my best, but I wasn't called for that. And praise the Lord, I didn't try to seek that all my life and try to think I'm going to be a runner and try in my own strength. But so I was running the other day, and the Lord just gave me this word for us as a church. And I'm going to carry on next week. That's why I've put 3 little dot, dot, dots there behind it, because that's not all that there is. It's a long-distance race, yes, but there's something else. So come back next week to hear the rest of it. But for this morning, first of all, I just want to tell you guys a story. When I was, it was about 2001, I think, so that was almost more than 10 years ago. I was running quite seriously at the time, and there was a big meeting in Stellenbosch, one of these InGen EPSA, you know, those typical meetings that they have around the country at all the major athletics stadiums. And in Stellenbosch, they had what was called an InGen meeting, and there were a couple of international people running. In fact, they had a big screen up there at the stadium. It was really quite an awesome event, and our coach, who was Ilana Mayer, most of you know Ilana, her husband was coaching us at that stage, and he sort of, and we were, you know, we were like more road runners, but this was a track meeting, and there was a 5,000 race that was you know, on the evening, and we thought, a couple of us thought, hey, cool, it would be nice for us to run. And so Michael got us into the race, but we knew that these, you know, these oaks are big guns. They're running like 13 minutes 30 for a 5,000, and my best time at that stage was like, I was managing just to run 3 minutes a K. I was just over 15 minutes for a 5,000. So I knew I was going to be lapped somewhere along, you know, during this race, because if these guys are running a minute and a half faster than me, then pretty much I'm going to be lapped at least once, maybe even twice, but hopefully not. I'll try and... So, but he got us into this race, and so, you know, you're quite nervous, you're excited to run in this big meeting, and there's like international runners running in other races, and there's quite a hype, and lots of people in Stellenbosch. Those were the days when probably one of the last times at the Athletics Day, not that it was full, but it was quite, there were quite a few people at the race. Since then, it's really gone downhill, and athletics is really in a bad way in this country, but praise the Lord, hopefully it will pick up. But anyway, so we got in, I was running in this race, well, I knew I was going to run this race on a Friday night, and but I'd run in some of these races before, and I'd always had such a bad race in this big meeting. I don't know if it was big match nerves or just the big occasion. I just didn't perform at my best. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm running in this race. I'm probably going to come close to the end or maybe even stone last, but at least an experience for me to, you know, to compete. So I went to a party, and it was actually one of Cameron's housemates, and they had this sort of this wig, this afro. This huge black curly afro thing. And I just thought to myself, I want to do something else to make me just a bit more relaxed for this race. You know, that I can just sort of not have to focus on, I just want to enjoy it. I really don't want to perform. And obviously I'm going to have to run at my absolute best to even just stay with the guys or try and not come, you know, be lapped about five times. So I thought, okay, let me do something that can make me relaxed. I thought maybe I must paint myself or do something weird, because I know there'll be a couple of students there and they'll sort of quite enjoy like a bit of a joke or whatever. Then I thought to myself, well, that's going to be a bit of a mess afterwards to clean myself. And so then I saw this afro at this one guy. He had a party, and there was this afro. And I said to him, where is that afro that I saw a couple of weeks ago? So I want to use that thing. I believe this can help me just to relax in this race. So he got it for me and everything. I think Cammy knows that afro. I don't know whose it was. But so this friend of mine got it, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to put this thing in my bag. And I'm gonna warm up and everything, be as normal as possible. And then just before the race starts, when I hand my bag to the people that carry those baskets with your talk bag, I'm going to just take this thing out, put it on my head, and then the gun must just go off. Because I knew I was going to cause a bit of a stir, and maybe the people are going to kick me off the track because this is quite a serious meeting and everything. So anyway, so I thought to myself, I was warming up, and then I started having doubts. Must I do this or not? Am I going to, you know, worry? The organizer's going to be a bit upset with me. But then I thought, no. I must go through with this. So I had it in my dog bag there, and I'm warming up, and I'm thinking, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But anyway, so we're ready to start, and we line up there at the 200-meter mark for this 12.5 laps of the track, and I sort of take this thing out. I put it on, and now I'm just thinking this gun must just go off so I can, because the people are going to laugh at me. And yes, when I put this thing on, I waited there, and luckily the gun didn't take too long to go off, and I could hear the crowd was starting to laugh there on the one corner where we were starting, and so we started this first lap, and I just knew the pace was going to be hot, so I'm just going to slot in right at the back. And when I got round to the, you know, neck to the 200-meter mark again after one lap, then I just heard a guy shouting, "Go, Michael Jackson!" But I was so, you know, you're sort of so nervous, but you're also so, like, you start laughing, and my stomach was so sore from this laughing, because I'm thinking, what are these people thinking? So as I go around the track, more and more people start realizing, this is some weird oak running in this race. So oak started to sort of get into this race. And now there's some major athletes running here and top South Africans. So we start running, and then I think the crowd just started totally focusing off of the leaders, because then I was like right at the end. But the Oaks just started laughing all around the stadium, and then they started giving me Mexican waves on that side and then Mexican waves on this side. And then I'm thinking, now I'm running so fast now. I went through the 3,000 meters in my personal best, which I'm talking about my personal best for just 3,000 meters. So I broke my personal best for 3,000 meters, but I still had another 2Ks to go. So I was pretty broken after 3Ks, and then I started losing them. I was way out on my own. The next guy was probably about 50 meters in front of me, and I was stone lost running this race. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have to give up now because I am so tired. I don't know how I'm going to finish this race, because I'd been just pulled in, and I was laughing, and I was like, oh, obviously not, you know, too relaxed in my stomach, because I just thought, I know what I look like. And the guy, I still remember the one official who I knew, he was like the on-track commentator. He looked at me coming past the first time, and when I came past him again, he just said, "Yes, Alistair, fantastic, man, fantastic." You know, like, so I thought, okay, at least these guys are with me in this. They're not going to pull me off as this weird clown. But afterwards, I got the tape of the race, and even the commentators were saying, And then actually they lapped me. They lapped me about two laps. I had about three laps to go, and I think they just had two laps to go. And the top guy started lapping me, and I had to move out. And now I see the motorbike going past like that, and so I'm waving, but I'm absolutely tired. I just get my arm up to wave. But anyway, so I heard the commentary afterwards, and the commentator went, and this guy is the clown of the race. And he's getting huge cheers from the crowd, but he's way out of it. He's being lapped, you know. So anyway, I watched this tape afterwards, and I just laughed at myself. But anyway, why I'm telling this story is because I'll never forget the story. And now you guys also know it as well. But I'll continue a little bit later when I get to the end of my sermon. But it was actually really an amazing experience for me to do this. But anyway, that's just as part of my introduction, because I believe that for us as Christians, we have been called to run a long-distance race. Who knows that? And those of you who are long-distance runners, you all know it's totally different from a sprint race. Amen. Some of us love to run 100 meters, 10 seconds, or maybe 11 or 12 seconds, and it's over. And that's quite easy. I guess the training is just as hard. But for a long-distance race, it takes something more than just a few seconds, and it's over. We as Christians have been called to run a long-distance race. And it's confirmed here in, well, this is not confirmed. This is where I get it from, in Hebrews 12. The New Living Translation says the following. Therefore, and the writer of Hebrews, they're still not exactly sure who did write Hebrews. Some people say it might have been Paul, but anyway. So we won't say it was Paul or whoever it was. We'll just say the writer of Hebrews has just talked about faith in chapter 11, for those of you who know the book of Hebrews. And he's saying that there's all these amazing people that have gone before us who have had such faith. And he gives this argument of all these people's faith. And then he says, therefore, and he speaks to the Hebrews, and he says, yeah, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And then it carries on and it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So I was reading this and I realized many times we read the scripture like this. We read the first verse and we say, okay, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know, I'm sure we're going to do this. We're going to be able to run this race, you know. But then it says the following. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And then it says, let us run with endurance. And if you stop there, you'll think, okay, I have got a hell of a lot to do here. I first of all have to strip off the weight of sin. I've got to strip off anything that trips me up. I've got to remove obstacles in my life. I've got so much to do. But you see, if we stop reading here and we just say, okay, I'll obey this verse, and we don't see what's following, then we'll immediately go into what most of us are very easily lured into, and that's just to do works. To try and get into works again, to try and say, okay, I've just got to do this by myself. I've got to struggle through this life of faith. I've got to strip off this weight of sin that slows me down. I've got to remove all the stuff all the time. But you see, it doesn't stop there. Isn't that the good news? It doesn't stop with us doing stuff. It says, listen, yeah, we are surrounded. Let us strip off the weight, especially sin. Let us run with endurance. But then if you look at verse 2, it says the following. We do this. In other words, he says, don't stop there. Just look, yeah. You haven't found your answer yet. This is your answer. We do this. In other words, we strip off every weight, especially the sin. We run with endurance by doing the following. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So don't try to strip off every weight that slows you down. Don't try to get rid of the sin. Don't try to run this endurance race without looking at verse 2. It says we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And who knows? That is not very easy. Is it easy for anyone to keep your eyes on Jesus in this world? Huh? It's actually quite difficult, wouldn't you agree? It's not easy to keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus has paid the price for us and we saved, yes, but to keep your eyes, it says continuously. It says don't move your eyes off Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But how many times have most of us lost the plot, lost the focus? We've started to look at other things. We started to look at the world. We started to look at money. We started to look at all other things. We keep our eyes off Jesus, or we don't keep them off it, but we struggle to keep our eyes on Jesus all the time. And he says here, the writer says, listen here, Jesus is the champion. He initiates and perfects your faith. He's the one who who's caused this race for you to be started, and he's going to finish this race. But he says, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Because, why? He saw the joy ahead of him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he's seated in God's throne, in God's presence. So then, you know, I want to ask you, is it natural for you to do this? Is it easy? It's not. And so then I sort of thought, let us look at the life of Paul. Because Paul wrote at the end of his life the following. He wrote to Timothy and he says, listen here, Timothy, I fought the good fight. I realize my life is at an end now. But you know what? I'm giving the reins over to you. And he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. So if Paul could say this, how much more could we not say this as well? Surely this is our inheritance. We must also at the end of our life come and say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. But how did Paul do this? That's the big question. How did Paul keep his eyes on Jesus? How did Paul keep focused on keeping the faith, running the race, fighting the good fight? How did he do this? And that's what I want to look at this morning is, sometimes we very easily go into Hebrews 12 verse 1 and we say, okay, let us strip off all the sin. Let us lay aside all the weight. And you know what the weight simply means? It just means it's part of us. It's like a sinful nature. Those of you who know long distance runners, most of them are very thin. Most of them don't weigh much at all. Because to run a long distance, you can't carry that weight with you. It's much easier. Look at Gary there. He's quite a good example of a long distance runner. Okay? Some of you need to get like Harry in the spirit, okay? Just lay aside that weight. Okay, all of us need to lay aside all the weight. And that's just our sinful nature. It talks about who we are. We can't do anything about it. We've been born with this weight, but we need to get rid of it, okay? And then the sin here talks about actually obstacles, because it says, first of all, the weight slows us down. In other words, it's part of you. You're carrying it. But the sin is often these obstacles. There's stuff in your life that sinful nature so wants, but it's an obstacle, and you need to remove it, because why? It's tripping you up. But the good news today is that we don't need to do this in our own strength. We cannot do this in our own strength. And Paul could only write this at the end of Timothy because he had a secret. And it's not a big secret. But let's look at it this morning. First of all, I don't know, who of you guys have done the Comrades? Anyone done the Comrades now? The Comrades Marathon was run just last Sunday, so it was still fresh in my mind as well. But that is a hell of a long race. And I don't really have any desire, to be honest, to run the Comrades. My brother's done it. He did it last year. And I've known some interesting people that have done it. Big rugby players, you know, not the most, light people running there. If you look at the people finishing in 11 hours, they're not all very thin, typical runners. It's incredible to see the people that actually finish that race. But anyway, most people that start a race or decide to run the Comrades, they have two things, first of all, that they're starting with. They first of all got to believe that they can finish this race, because believing, you can't try to just run the Comrades. You can't say, I'll enter. Obviously, you do have to qualify and all that, but you can't just say, okay, let me just give it a go. You can't say, let me just give it a go. I just want to prove that I can do it. No, no, no. You have to, first of all, believe that you can finish that race, because otherwise, you're going to definitely not finish. If you don't believe, even have just a small chance of believing you're going to do that race, you're definitely not. So you first of all have to believe that you can do it. And secondly, you must have that hope that you are going to, you must almost see yourself finishing that race. You can't just do it and think, ah, man, I'll see after halfway how I feel, because then you're going to stop, believe me. So you've got to almost have that hope that you must see yourself crossing that line, see yourself going over and finishing that race. And it's the same with the Christian walk. You see, Paul writes here in Romans, and he's also arguing about this whole thing that, you know, works cannot save us, the law cannot save us, nothing can save us. It's only faith in Jesus. And he says here in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, and he's just argued about Abraham, he's just said, listen, Abraham is a proof that he was accounted, righteousness was accounted to him. Why? Because he had faith. So he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, he writes here to the Romans, mainly a Gentile church, to encourage them, that they cannot go, and there were some Jews in there that were trying to sort of say to them, no, but you must keep the law and all this stuff. But he says, listen here, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And then he goes on, he says, and what do? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So he says, listen here, you've started off by faith, you've been justified by faith, but you know what? You can also rejoice in the hope of the glory that one day we're going to all be changed. One day we're going to all be made perfect. That is the hope of the glory of God. We will all be made complete. So you can know that you're going to be made complete. You can know that you're going to finish this race. But you must start off with this faith. You must start off with this hope. And then he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. So yeah, he's talking about this race that we're running is not going to be easy. There are going to be tribulations. But he says the following, knowing that this tribulation produces even more perseverance in us. It produces every milestone you go through, every mile and K that you conquer. It produces in you a perseverance to just keep going and say, if I've done 40 Ks, I can still do another 40. I can persevere. And then he says, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And then the hope gets stirred even more. And then he goes on in verse 5 and he says, listen here, hope does not disappoint. That's why you must have hope. Because, why? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So he ends off this little piece here in Romans 5 from 1 to 5. He says, listen here, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us of the love of God that has been poured out. And therefore we can come to God by faith. We can believe. We can have salvation. We can have the process of salvation started in our lives. But we can also have this hope that one day it's going to be complete. You see, the good news for us, and it's probably bad news as well, is that we are living in between the times. Who knows that? We are living in this sort of last days. It's called, the study of the last days is called eschatology. It's like we're living in these last days where we're actually in between the times. Jesus has come, but you know what? He's coming again. The Holy Spirit has been given as a down payment, but you know what? The fullness is still going to come. So we're living in this, what's called the already not yet of the kingdom. And the Gospels talk about this. All Paul's writings talk about that we're living in this tension. And that's why many of us experience a bit of a tension at times, because we long just to be glorified. We long just to be made perfect, but we're still sitting with a sinful nature. We're still sitting with this process that's been complete in our lives. But you know what? It's good news. It mustn't only be bad news. It's good news. Why? Because this race we live running, it's just such an awesome race. Isn't it amazing to be running this race of endurance and this race of faith? So you see, we've got hope. We must have hope and confidence in the finished work of cross, and in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And we must also know that He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help us to start this race and going to help us to finish this race. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the down payment, the guarantee that one day we're going to all be made perfect. Isn't that awesome? But you see, if you don't start with faith and hope, how are you going to finish with faith and hope? So it's so important to start this race and to know that we just need to start, yeah. And then the Holy Spirit will take us. And He's the one that pours out the hope and the faith into our hearts. And yeah, it says in Romans 15:13, confirms that. And he's writing at the end of Romans. But he sort of says, listen, yeah, the God of hope, I want to bless you guys. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In other words, you must believe to have that joy and that peace in you. You must believe, and that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once again, Paul's saying, listen, you know, the only way you can do this is by the power of the Spirit. Jesus has gone to the Father. He has finished the work on the cross. He's done His work. But He's given us the power of the Spirit that we can abound in hope, that we can start this race with faith and with hope that we're going to finish it. Isn't that amazing? Because you see, if you start this race without hope, the challenges are going to come. And you're just going to wander off and go to another race. Maybe there's a better race. Because this race is just so challenging. I can't make this. So let us start to run this race with faith and hope. Secondly, who knows, in a long distance race, and Harry will bear me out on all those who run long distance races, if you don't pace yourself, man, you're going to struggle. Okay? I don't know if you guys watched the comrades, but if you watched last Sunday, there was a guy that started, and he was leading for the first about 30 Ks. His name's Ger Tuis. He's one of South Africa's best middle or long distance runners. Not ultra distance, but long distance. Marathons, half marathon. And he started at one incredible pace. In fact, he said to the guys beforehand, I am going to run a sub 5 hour comrades. Now, the record for the comrades is 5 hours, 20 minutes, around there. So Ger Tuis comes, he says, this is the first time he's running this race. He said, I believe someone can run sub 5 hours for the comrades. A bit arrogant, a bit proud. I'm this great marathon runner. I've run a 206 marathon, first guy to run 206 for South Africa. Now I'm going to go and do a 5 hour marathon. A 5 hour comrades. Who knows what happened to Ger Tuis? He didn't even finish the race on Sunday because he was running at an incredible pace for the first 40 or 50 Ks. And then the guys just started to reel him in, and he just didn't even finish. He stopped after about 50 or 60. I don't know when he stopped. But you see, pacing is all important. In other words, we need to get into the right rhythm. And even a track athlete who's running 400 meters knows that you can't start at the same pace as a 100-meter sprinter. Oster, he ran hurdles. You can't try and think you're going to run the same pace as a 200 or 100-meter athlete for those first 200 meters. You'll probably finish the race because it's not that long. But you see, pacing is all important. So how must we get into the right rhythm? Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We must get into the rhythm of the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit. Why? It says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I don't know if this verse is trying to say that we must walk this long race, but that's not the point, okay? I want to focus here just on, first of all, according to the Spirit. We must walk according to the Spirit in verse 1, and yet at the end it says again, the righteous requirement is fulfilled when you walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. So if you like Gertes and you think you're just going to run this race with a bit of pride and with a bit of arrogance, you're going to just run it in your own strength, and because you're used to running shorter races, so you can just do the same for this long distance race, you're going to fall out if you don't keep in rhythm with the Spirit. And it just talks here about our own flesh once again. It talks about our emotions, because sometimes we're so excited about this race, so we start and we're just running on emotions all the time. And you know what? The emotions are going to run out eventually if you're not according to the Spirit. And sometimes we think it's the Spirit, but it's not really. It's just our own excitement. I'm not saying don't get excited, please. This race is so exciting, because when you've started this race, you will get excited. But guess what? You're going to get excited in the right pace. You're going to get excited according to the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. So we must get into the right rhythm as Christians. And you see, they actually say that the best way to pace in a distance race is to run even splits. Not to run slower the second half or faster the second half. The best way and the most effective way is to run even splits. But you know how difficult that is, Harry? Us distance runners will know. Do you know how difficult it is to run the same pace every lap? If you're running at 10,000 meters, to run 25 of those 400 meters at the same split, it's very difficult. But you know what? It is the most energy conserving. It's the most efficient. And so guess what? The Holy Spirit knows the pace that we as Christians must run at. The Holy Spirit knows the rhythm that we must run at. And He wants to lead us, you see. He wants to show us His rhythm. He wants to get us into the right rhythm. But you know what? It takes discipline. And you know, athletes that run even splits, and these top guys, they just know how to pace themselves. Why? Because they've spent hours and hours on the track, hours in, you know, running up hills, trying to pace themselves up a hill, down a hill. They've done it to the T. They've trained themselves, disciplined themselves to get into the rhythm that will win them the race in the end. And the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit wants to show us the pace that we must run at. So some of us are lagging behind because we're not in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is moving. And you know, this walking thing talks about there's a movement. You know, some of us think there's no such thing as stagnation. You're either walking with the Spirit or, you know what, you're walking backwards. You can't stand still. The race of life talks about there's a movement. God is moving and the Spirit is moving and He's long-suffering. He's waiting for us. But I want to say to us that, you know, if you're stagnating, you're not just standing still. You're actually walking in the wrong direction. You're moving backwards. So there's no time for stagnation. I want to put it in inverted commas. There's no time that we can't waste time and walk in the wrong direction or walk backwards, because we will be moving somewhere. Life moves us. Who knows? Life is moving at a fast pace. So if we're not walking in step with the Spirit, you know what? Life is going to move us into another direction. Life is going to pull us. The pace of life is getting so fast. And some of us are under so much pressure to perform and to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with making money and keep up with the highest degree that you can get. The pace of life is getting fast. And we must learn to get into the rhythm of the Spirit. Because move, we're going to move. But we're either moving with the Spirit or we're moving away from Him. We need to get into the rhythm of life. Is someone excited? Yeah, is someone saying amen? If I can just hear at least two or three amens. And then in Galatians, Paul writes here. Now, to give you some background about Galatians, Paul writes to the Galatians and he's telling, he's heard about these guys called the Judaizers. The Judaizers were had this weird doctrine, and they said, listen, yeah, we agree that you must be justified by faith and you must, you know, sort of say thanks to Jesus for what he's done. But they were teaching yes, you must be justified by faith and you must get saved and everything. But you know what? You Gentiles that have become Christians, you guys have got to fulfill the law as well now. And they were bringing in this teaching that you have got to fulfill the law. You can't just say the work of the cross is enough. No. You've got to fulfill the Jewish law. They were so adamant that they had to fulfill the Jewish law. And so Paul came and he is like Paul the apostle himself, just bringing order and just getting so upset with these guys that they're following this teaching. And he says, oh foolish Galatians, then in verse 1, I haven't put it up there, but he says, you are so foolish. How can you listen to this teaching? You have been justified by faith. How can you not go and agree with them and start to fulfill the law? And he says, yeah, this I only want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And those of us who know a long-distance race, you will know that you need fuel, okay? The Comrades Marathon has an incredible amount of supplies along the way. There's like the guys, you heard of guys eating like potatoes and things like that. I mean, I haven't run. The furthest I've run is 30 Ks in my life, and I just needed water for that 30 Ks. But I mean, I was pretty tired after that 30 K race. I think, how can these guys run three times that? They surely need a couple of potatoes and a couple of, some guys eat the Boerewors and they stop there at the Braais and, you know. But you need a lot of fuel, okay? And you need the right fuel. I don't think some guys have a clue as to what they really need. They just see, hey, there's like a braai place. They'll have just a couple of chops on the way there. And, you know, maybe I'll finish the race. Okay, but some guys are in it for the fun. But you know what? That race is really not that fun, to be honest. Ask anyone who's run it. It is a hard race. It is very tough on your body. But you see, you need the right fuel, and you cannot afford not to have fuel along the way. You cannot say, I'll run these 90 Ks, and I haven't taken in any juice or any water or anything along the way. You're going to run out of fuel. You're going to feel very bad afterwards. But you see, this is what Paul's writing here, and he says, listen here, you Galatians, how can you continue running this race when you began in the Spirit and now you're trying to fulfill and complete this race in the flesh? And he says here in chapter 5, he carries on, he says, listen here, if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. And then he goes on to teach and he says, but we who live by the Spirit, once again he's saying, listen here, this is the fuel that you need to complete the race. You have started with the Spirit, but why add something to it? All you need is to live in the Spirit. Because why? Through the Spirit, we eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. See, once again there he's talking about when you're starting by faith, you mustn't stop, you must continue by faith. But the Spirit is going to remind you, the Spirit is going to get you excited because you're going to eagerly wait. Say, eagerly wait. Eagerly wait for the righteousness that God has promised. But you do it by faith, he says. And then there's this hope, that thing of the promise. He says, God has promised to us this hope that we're going to be made complete. And that we're going to be with Jesus and see him for who he really is. And then he says, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus. And he's talking here again about continuing to place your faith in Christ Jesus. Don't just start there. Continue to do it. There is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. It doesn't matter what you try to do. Christ has fulfilled it all. So you don't have to say now you're going to be circumcised all over again just because that was the Jewish law. No, the great news, and that was Paul's main preaching. He says, listen, yeah, Jews and Gentiles have to change. The Jews have to lay down their law and all that stuff. Christ came to fulfill it. They still have to come to him. They cannot receive righteousness by their works and by completing the law. And the same with the Gentiles. You have to leave worshipping idols. You've got to leave your pagan gods. You've got to leave everything. Jews and Gentiles alike have to turn and repent of their ways. Because both ways are not acceptable before God. And then he says, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. Isn't that amazing? And that's why we talk about out of that faith, you love others. Out of that faith, you love the brothers. You love other people. You start to be a blessing. And then he ends off by saying, you were running the race so well, man. I was so pleased with you, but then what happened? Why did you start to disobey the truth? Who has held you back from following the truth? So you see, the good news for us is that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us and wants to be our fuel. He makes sure that we don't run out of fuel. He makes sure that the Word is always ahead of us, that Christ is the one that we're fixed on. Christ is the one that we're keeping focus on. He wants to make sure that the truth, because yeah, it says, who held you back from following the truth? You see, the truth is the one that's going to keep us focused. Because this deception came in, this teaching that came in for the Galatians was such a deception from the devil. The devil wanted to get people into works, and it's the same with us today. The devil wants us to say, you're not good enough. Just, you know, serve more, do more things, because you're not really good enough. Just try to earn your place in heaven. Just try to, you know, add to what Christ has done. And that is such a lie. The Holy Spirit wants to remind us. And if we just keep focused on Him, the gift that has been given to us today, what will He do? He'll remind us that our daily bread is the Word. Our daily bread is prayer and devotion, that we must, it's not a works to get up in the morning and to spend time with God. The Holy Spirit is the one that wants to empower us to get up and say, Lord, I worship You. It's my fuel. I cannot afford to run out of this fuel. Cannot afford to continue to pray. And that's why I'm so encouraged by Tanya's testimony and just by the people coming to intercession. Because you see, it's not about a meeting to get you psyched up. It's just about us as a church. God wants us to pray, but us as individuals as well. That He wants us just to get into His presence, that we can realize this world is not about the things we do every day. It's about Him and His presence and His purpose in our lives. And that's why it's awesome. And I want to encourage you guys, come. Because it's part of the fuel. It's for us to pray individually, but also corporately. And I'm really chuffed that you guys all came to the 24-hour prayer meeting. It was really blessed, and I know we were all blessed by it. But let's not keep it there. Let's not keep it as an event. Let's remain in the lifestyle of walking in the Spirit. You see, it says, you live by the Spirit, eagerly wait. And that's why we pray. We pray for the kingdom to come. We pray for Jesus to come back. And Jesus said, look, He's not going to come back until everyone hears the gospel. And that's why we pray that Bloemfontein will hear the gospel. That South Africa will hear the gospel, that the nations will hear, so that we can have this hope fulfilled in us, this promise that we're going to be made perfect. Isn't that amazing? He says, you are running so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? And there's fellowship. The Holy Spirit reminds us again of fellowship. The Holy Spirit reminds us of getting together as a body. That's why we have church. That's why we have small groups. It's essential. It's part of the fuel. And who knows, who's been isolated for a while? You've been somewhere in another country and you've been like, you know, haven't been connected to a church. Who feels pretty dry immediately? You start to feel dry when you're not connected. I've heard of lots of stories, people coming back and then just say, man, I'm so glad to be back in a church. I'm so glad to just be in a small group because I'm running dry. Because I haven't had the Holy Spirit to inspire me. And you see, we cannot run this race alone. And I'll get more onto that next week. But you see, first of all, it comes from a personal relationship with the Spirit. And then witnessing and then blessing others to reach out, and where the Lord starts to flow through us, the Spirit flows through us, and we can be a blessing. We can start to witness. That's part of the fuel that we need. If we don't flow out, we're going to get all stagnant. We're going to get all, you know, like water that's just in a pool. It's all dry. I mean, it's all, you know, muck and sift because it's not flowing. But a river flowing is beautiful. You can drink from a flowing river. But if we're stagnant, if we're not giving out, then we're going to go backwards, you see. So don't run out of fuel. We cannot afford dehydration. We cannot afford lack of energy. Who knows, as a sports person, the worst feeling is dehydration, or where you just want to stop because you just got no more energy. And as Christians, many times we feel like that. We're so dry. We feel like, oh man, I'm not list to go on. I'm not list to wake up in this cold weather. I'm not list to follow the Lord anymore many times. And the Holy Spirit is the one that we can look to, who has given us that faith, and he wants to stir the faith in us. He's our fuel. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he's talking about the new covenant that's better than Moses, because when Moses is read, there's a veil over people's eyes, and it's just, yeah, it's glorious. You know, the stone tablets were glorious. The law was glorious. But Paul says there's so much more. There's a new covenant. And he ends off with this, and he says, we all, because of what Jesus has done, we are all with unveiled face. In other words, the veil has been torn and we can come to the Father fully, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that brings us, takes us from glory to glory. And we are changed. And one day, it's just going to be so awesome, because we are going to be made glorious, just like Jesus. And you know, when I was running that race, that 5,000 race that I was talking about earlier, as I said, after 3Ks, I was feeling like I need to stop, because I've obviously started this race too fast. I haven't paced myself, but you know how difficult it is when other guys are so much faster than you, and you're going to know, you're going to pace your own pace. Then you're going to somehow get right behind from the word go. And I just try to keep up with these guys as much as I could. And after 3Ks, I looked at my time. It was like 8:47. Yes, that's my PB for 3,000. I've never run faster than that for even just a 3,000 race. But then I started to, like, my mind was like, oh, yes, I've started too fast. I'm not going to finish. But you know, I thought, I'm going to disappoint thousands of people here if I just stop this race now. I'm going to disappoint these people that are loving this Afro Oak running 12 and a half laps around the track. This crazy student, they probably thought I was still studying, and I wasn't actually. But anyway, I just started to blend in with the Stellenbosch students, and they were loving it. Michael Jackson, man, go for it, you know. But you know, when I just realized, yeah, I'm like 150, I'm starting to get really behind now, and the guys lapped me. But you know, then I just started just cheering for me. I thought, yes, these guys, and the guys in the crowd afterwards told me that they weren't even worried about Shadrach Hoff and all these top runners running and finishing. And the poor, I probably stole his glory there, you know. Because they didn't even care. They were just waiting for this oak to finish this race. Because they could see, I'm probably this unfit oak. So it was actually in my, it probably counted in my favor. They probably thought this oak had never run a 5,000 in his life, and he's going to try and be a clown and get into this race. So they thought, yes, this oak's doing well. But actually, I wasn't doing that well because I didn't pace myself very well. Although I was like 3 or 4 seconds off my previous PB, so I guess I didn't do too badly. But when I finished the last 150 meters, or no, last 250, sorry, my teammate, the guy I was training with, he finished about 250 meters ahead of me. He was like second last. He ran like a 14 something, which was almost his best as well. But yeah, the last 250 meters, I'm at the back straight there, and I just see this, and I look and I see it, there's no one else on the track. Everyone else is finished. And here I am running this last 250 meters on my own. But I was like, this was like the moment of glory that I've been waiting for. I felt I won that race. I was running those last 200, but the crowd, the whole crowd was just standing on their feet. The grandstand was like cheering me, and like I just felt, yes, I've won this race. Poor Shadrach off. He didn't get any glory because the whole crowd was on me, and they said they were even flashing more of me on the big screen than the other guys, you know, like. So I went into that home straight, and I was like, awesome, man. Chariots of Fire playing, you know, that slow-mo thing, you know, you're thinking, yes. And I just go over the line, but I put my hands in the air like that, and the crowd in front of me is just, yeah, going wild. You know, all these oaks from, you know, the oaks from Stellenbosch, the colored guys there, they were just loving it, man. Cheering me, and they were just, hey, you're a hero, man, you're a hero. You know, like, going, and then I take my wig off, and it was like cold that night. So yes, my head starts getting cold, because obviously you build up quite a bit of heat in this afro. But it was like the most incredible, you know, if I look back, and I've won a couple of races, not many in my life, but that was like one of the best feelings I had when I went over that line, and like just there's the support from like this cloud of witnesses. I guess that's what Hebrews is talking about. You know, this great cloud of witnesses, this crowd cheering me on to finish this race. They obviously saw, yes, man, I'm dying, I'm going backwards, but man, this wig's probably keeping me back. I should have thrown this wig off long ago. But you see, when we one day finish the race, we're going to be like Paul. We're going to experience that glory where we don't finish like some people who finish the comrades. I mean, how bad is it? Some folks have to be helped over the line. And I understand they've run a long way. But you know, you probably didn't train hard enough. You probably didn't pace yourself. But you know, the best guys are those that, and whether you won or not, everyone has won a race within himself. But when you go over that line and you can just say, yes, man, this is awesome. You don't sort of walk over the line and you just collapse, you know, like, and I know some of the winners do that, they just collapse. The guy who won, I don't know if he did it out of just because he was purely exhausted or just he was so glad he finished, but you know, it's not nice to like collapse over the line. You want to finish strongly. The nicest races I've run is when I finish strongly and I've been able to just still walk on and not have to sort of be in a hospital or be put on a drip or something and then you recover. No, you want to finish that race and do almost a victory lap. And if you look at the best athletes, they'll carry on running. They'll do a victory lap straight away. Because you know what? We must finish strongly. And God wants us to finish strongly. That is the Holy Spirit's job, is to make sure that we don't get tired. That we don't finish surviving. We don't finish like pulling Moses' beard and saying, hopefully I'll just get some help. No. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to finish strongly. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to have a victory where we just can say, Jesus, it's all about you. You have been the strength. And I just know the support from the crowd that day, just the will to finish within me was just what I needed. You know, I needed that support. If it was a normal race, I would have just pretty much stopped. I've stopped in a couple of races in my life, and it's a terrible thing. You know you just can't go on, but you just know you failed. You should have finished, even if you walked. You should have just finished. But that day, I just had support where I could run even faster that last 100 meters. It was like incredible. I forgot about my tiredness. I forgot about everything. It was just such an exciting feeling to be able to finish that race. And that is how God wants us, and the Spirit of God wants us to finish the Christian race. And Paul said at the end of his life, he says, I've kept the faith. I haven't wavered from the focus that God has given me. So some of us today, we just need to take stock again of where we're at and I want us all to stand just this morning, and as the band comes up, because this is exciting, because you know it doesn't end here. This long distance race is not about an individual thing, it's about a team effort, and that's what I'm going to talk about next week, about the whole team thing. See, we don't have to do this alone, we don't have to run this race alone. But for now, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And so some of us, we just, as we close our eyes this morning, I believe we just need to ask God, and I'm not going to call us forward, but I want all of us just to ask the Lord to fill us again, because I believe sometimes we get tired, sometimes, and it's natural, it's a Christian thing, but that's why we have church, you see, because this life is challenging, the world out there is doing all sorts of other things, and saying, come, do this rather, it's more exciting, this is better, and sometimes our Christian life seems like, you know, we not boring in a sense, but sometimes it sort of seems the same old, same old. But you know what? That's the season that you may be going through. Don't always look for excitement. Don't always look for happenings in your life. Just be faithful. As the song says, God is faithful. And I felt when we were singing that song, you know, God wants us just to be faithful. Because He's faithful, so He's given us the power to be faithful. So sometimes you might be going through a bit of a challenge and you think, oh man, it's so difficult to be faithful. Then just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me just to be faithful. Give me the strength to be constant, to run this race in rhythm with You. And it doesn't matter whether I'm excited or not. It's not about that. It is exciting. The race is exciting. And it's going to be an awesome finish. Better than we can all imagine. But for now, He just wants us to be faithful in what we've been called to do. So let's all close our eyes this morning. Father, we just want to thank You for Your word, Lord, that is so powerful and that speaks to our hearts, Lord. And we know, Lord, that You've called us to just keep our eyes on You, Jesus. And we know the reason, the only way we can do this is by the power of Your Spirit, Lord. You've given us Your Spirit to equip us, encourage us, Lord, and to cheer us on, along with all the other witnesses and all the other testimonies that we've heard before us of people finishing the race strongly, like the Apostle Paul. But Lord, we know that the greatest power in us is not a testimony. It's not a word, Lord. It's Your Spirit. And Your Spirit makes Your word alive, Lord. Your Spirit is the one that makes the black and white that we open every day, the Bible, where it's writing on paper, Lord. It's merely just a physical thing. But Lord, we know it's dead without Your Spirit. And so we know that Your Spirit is the one, Lord, that empowers us, Lord, to run in rhythm, Lord, not to run out of fuel, God. And we know that Your Spirit is the same one that's going to empower us to finish strongly, Lord. And maybe even some people here haven't even started with faith and hope. They've just started this race with, let's just try and see if Jesus can help me out of my challenge or help me through this life. But You haven't called us, Lord, to try You or to even just experiment with You, Lord. Your word is the truth and You are the truth, Jesus. And Your Spirit is the one that empowers us to have faith. First of all, to believe and then to continue to believe, Lord. And we know the hope that lies ahead of us is so exciting, God. But Lord, sometimes we're in this tension where we don't see excitement. We just see challenge and we see challenge and we see challenge and we see problems and we see all sorts of depressing things around us. And Lord, we see people blaspheming Your name and just not wanting to follow You, God. But thank You that You've called us to be faithful in this time, and You've called us to walk by Your Spirit and to walk in step with Your Spirit, to take the rhythm, God, that You have given us. Your Spirit, Lord, is the rhythm of life, and we welcome Your Holy Spirit into our midst right now. We welcome You into our lives to encourage us and to challenge us as well, Lord, to continue to remain faithful, God, because You have overcome. You endured the cross, Lord. You despised its shame. And You're seated at God's throne, Jesus. And so we thank You that You've made a way. Your Spirit is encouraging us all to continue this race of faith, Lord.